Mark chapter number 10. And once you find your place there, if you're able to stand with us, would you do so in honor of the reading of God's Word? Mark chapter number 10. And beginning in verse 17, if you just read silently there, I'll read aloud. But verse 17, "And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, 'Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?' And Jesus said unto him, 'Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and thy mother.' And he answered and said unto him, 'Master, all these have I observed from my youth.' Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, 'One thing thou lackest: go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross, and follow me.' And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. And Jesus looked round about, and saith unto his disciples, 'How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God?' And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answereth again, saith unto them, 'Children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God?'" So I believe he's kind of clarifying there. Just because you have money — I don't think we have that problem in our church — but just because you have money does not mean you can't go to heaven. But if you're trusting in that money to get you to heaven, it's never going to work. He said, "It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." And they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, "Who then can be saved?" And Jesus, looking upon them, saith, "With men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible." And then Peter began to say unto him, "Lo, we have left all and have followed thee." And Jesus answered and said, "Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive an hundredfold now in this time, houses and brethren, sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life." Now, I want to preach this morning for a little while on this thought: don't miss heaven for the world. Don't miss heaven for the world. Let's pray. God, would you bless the message this morning? I pray that here for a little while we'll be free of distractions. And I pray, Holy Spirit of God, that you'll do a work in our midst. And Lord, I believe through the singing and the reading of your word that, Lord, you're already tapping at some hearts' doors, just like you did mine way back in the 90s, where I realized I was in church. I knew some of the Bible stories. I was religious, but I was not saved. And I remember the day that you saved me. And Lord, today, if there's someone here that does not truly know Christ as their Savior, would you show that to them today? And then, Lord, help them to know that they're in the midst of a people that that love them in the Lord and that want them to enjoy being saved just like we are. And I pray that today, when we give an invitation in a little while, they'd be willing to walk the aisle, let somebody lead them to a saving knowledge of Christ. Lord, do a work, I pray. Do a work in our two children's churches that are going on now. We ask and pray. Well, thank you for what you'll do. Ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated there. Keep your Bible open there in Mark chapter number 10. We live in a world today that is filled with people who are searching. People that are searching for peace. People that are searching for true joy. Those that are searching for fulfillment. Those that are searching for identity. Those that are searching for whatever they believe is missing in their life. In our text, we find a man here in our text who was searching. This is mentioned in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and Luke, three of the Gospels. This same story is mentioned. And in Matthew's Gospel, it says that this fellow was a young man. I don't know what young man meant. I'm 48, so obviously young man means 48 and below at this point. But I don't know if we're talking about a teenager. I don't know if we're talking about a 20-something. But here's an amazing fact. Our text tells us that this young man already had great possessions. So he had already accomplished quite a bit in his few years on the earth. Now, perhaps perhaps he had already conquered the world. And maybe he thought, well, you know, I've conquered the world. Maybe I can purchase this thing called eternal life with my great possessions. Maybe he sat in his house one day and was looking at his portfolio and thought, man, all the investments that I have and all the ownership that I have and all the cash that I have. But he still felt some kind of an emptiness on the inside, that no matter what house he bought, no matter what car he bought, no matter what marriage he had, no matter how many kids he had, no matter what he had going, there was still some emptiness on the inside. He could not explain it. If you know your Bible, you know that you and I can explain it from the Word of God, because the Bible says that a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. I don't know what his motive was for going on that day and trying to find Christ, but I know this, he had a sense of urgency. The Bible says that there came one running to Jesus. Not only do I see a sense of urgency, but I also see somewhat, and we may prove this wrong later in the text, but I see somewhat of a sense of humility, because the Bible says not only did he run to Jesus, but when he came to Jesus, he kneeled down in front of him and said, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Now, my own observation is this. He knew that he was lacking whatever it was that brought true joy, that brought true peace, and that brought fulfillment in his life. And I believe that this fella knew that he somehow knew that this Jesus, this good master, this good leader, excuse me, I believe he knew that somehow this man can help me. But as I read through the passage, and I love to study the Bible, and I love to read the Bible, and I love to write sermons and preach and so forth. But as I'm reading through this passage, my thought is that even though he knew he had heard things about this Jesus and heard things about this great master, and I know that probably everyone in here, we live in America, probably everyone in here has heard Jesus before, heard the name of Jesus, and maybe you even say, oh, I believe that Jesus lived, and I believe things about Jesus. Well, I think he did, but my thought is that he did not fully realize that it wasn't just a man named Jesus, a good master. I believe this young man did not fully realize that he was standing face to face with the Savior of the world. Here's why I think that. Look at verse number 17. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus saith unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, and that is God. Jesus, God in the flesh, says, why are you calling me good? Now, had this young man believed that Jesus was the Savior, I believe his response would have been something like this. When he said, there's none good but God, I believe the young man would have said, I believe you are God. I believe you are God in the flesh, sent to earth to pay my sin debt on the cross of Calvary. So he didn't believe this was a Savior. He maybe believed there was a man named Jesus who went about doing good, and somehow maybe he could hook you up with some eternal life. Or I don't know, you're a good master, and I'm going to kneel down and I'm going to do what it takes. And Jesus says, why do you call me good? Well, we realize Jesus is good. Jesus is God. Jesus is the sinless Lamb of God. And I believe maybe Christ was trying to get him to say that and show that he had faith in him. Well, God knows our heart, right? Jesus knew that this young man did not believe in him as Savior. So he gives the gospel by a different avenue. Look at it in verse number 19. Jesus says to him in verse 19, thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. There's one. Do not kill. There's two. Do not steal. There's three. Do not bear false witness. There's four. Defraud not. There's five. Honor thy father and thy mother. There's six. And he answered and said unto him, Master, all these have I observed from my youth. Okay? I don't know this to be a fact, but I can picture this as Jesus is giving him six commandments. There are 10 commandments. He hasn't gotten to them yet. And I think the young man may have interrupted him and said, I've done all that. I think he was trying to get the young man to realize and admit, just like all of us in this room this morning, that that young man was not perfect. That he was a sinner and that he needed salvation. He was using his law, God's law, to show this man that he was lost. And what I think happened there is through that, what was it, six? I think I said that he had mentioned six commandments here. I almost think that he cut him off and said, he said, God, if it's that gives me eternal life, I'm good enough. But yet what God was trying to do was show him he was not good enough to be saved. And if the man was honest with himself and honest with God, he didn't keep all those commandments. By the way, neither did we. Honor thy father and thy mother. I don't believe there's a person alive that all of their childhood obeyed mom and dad and honored mom and dad and never disobeyed. And I don't believe that's the case, friend. We're all born in need of salvation. The Bible tells us in Galatians 3 about the law, what Jesus was using now to try to get this man to see his sin. The Bible says in Galatians 3:21, is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given, which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. God said, I could have said, go to church faithfully and you get to go to heaven, but that's not in the Bible. I could have said, hey, just don't steal all your life. If there had been a law that could get you saved, then salvation would have been through the law. But that's not the case. It goes on to say this. But the scripture, the word of God, hath concluded all under sin. Folks, none of us was born into a family that gets to go to heaven. We were all born sinners in need of salvation. But the scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, and the law's penalty and sin's penalty, shut up under the faith which should afterward be revealed. Wherefore, this is what was happening in our text. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ. The law was our teacher, our guide. When we, if we think, well, I'm good enough to get into heaven, I mean, compared to that attorney out there in South Carolina that murdered his family, I mean, compared to him, I mean, compared to that child molester over there, I mean, compared to that person over there, I mean, I'm good enough to go to heaven, and we're just going to find out when we get there who gets in, who doesn't. Friend, that is not in the Bible. You can know today whether or not you're going to heaven by trusting Jesus as your personal Savior. But if you say, well, I'm just figuring you'd be good enough. Well, I just showed you in the Bible there. The Bible says, no. The law is given so that we would, one of the reasons, so that we would understand, man, I can't do all this. I try, but I just, man, I fail so much. And friend, that's okay. That's our sin nature. But Christ paid that sin debt. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So Christ says, why are you calling me good? And I really think he was hoping the guy would say, because you're God in the flesh, come to die for my sins, and I'm trusting you as Savior. But he didn't. So God says, okay. The Lord says, all right, that knows the commandments. And he starts giving them, and I think the guy cuts him off, says, I've done all that, right? Do I get eternal life? And the Lord was trying to teach him that if you would just admit you're a sinner, then you would start searching for, okay, if going to church and obeying the book and just being good, if that's not going to get me to heaven, what gets me to heaven? Well, when that avenue failed to bring the young man to a saving knowledge of Christ, I believe Christ then tests his motive. Was he really wanting to be saved? Or was he just trying to add eternal life to the list of his great possessions? Look at verse number 21. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him. And I'll be honest with you, I read this text 10 times this week. And it wasn't until I read the text to you a minute ago that I caught that phrase, Jesus, beholding him, loved him. Aren't you glad that God commended his love toward us and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us? He said, Jesus, beholding him, loved him. He wanted him to be saved. Listen, teenagers, look up here at me. If you're not saved today, God wants you to be saved. He wants you to have a home in heaven. He died for you on the cross of Calvary. All the adults in here, doesn't matter your age, doesn't matter your bank account, doesn't matter your education, doesn't matter what your rap sheet is. Christ Jesus paid your sin debt, and He loves you, and He wants you to be saved, and He wants you to go to heaven when you die. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, one thing thou lackest. Go thy way. Sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross, and follow me. And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. I believe the young man would have given much money to get eternal life. But I believe he proved on that day he really didn't want Jesus. He really didn't want salvation. He really didn't want God's eternal life, God's way. He wanted it his way in his time. And the Lord himself tried to witness this young man. Why are you calling me good? There's none good but God. Oh, okay. Not like God, not like Christ didn't already know what was going to happen. But if you follow me here, man, he should have trusted Christ right there. He should have said, you are God in the flesh, Emmanuel, God with us. He said, all right, let me try it another way. All right, you know the commandments, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not covet. Oh, I've done all that. Oh, he's just not getting it. Folks, I hope you're getting it today. We were all born sinners, deserving of hell. We were all born lost and without Christ. And so the Lord says, okay, I don't think he really wants salvation. I think he just thinks his money's conquered the world and he could just conquer the eternal life now somehow and put it in his portfolio. And so he says, okay, because it's God's goodness, God's grace that whereby we're saved. And God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And so this man, as I told you earlier, he came kneeling. He looks to be proud. But here it's like, I don't know. I think he might have been too proud to be saved because God said, get rid of it all. Listen for just a minute. Listen, when you truly realize that you're a breath away from hell, you will not sit and reason about what all you're going to have to give up. You won't sit and say, well, just not today. I know God's working on me, preacher, but not today. Friend, I would not miss heaven for the world. Maybe you're here today and you're looking for true peace. I'll be honest with you, folks. I woke up this morning and I have true peace in my life. I'm not in turmoil. I didn't wake up. Sometimes I am. Sometimes I eat pepperoni pizza too late at night. And I have dreams, and man, I wake up and went to bed the other night early because my blood pressure was just a little off, and I didn't feel bad. I could tell the blood pressure was, I wasn't stressed about anything. It just, I don't even know what it was, but I thought, man, I'm going to turn it a little bit early, and I figured out the older I get, the earlier I'm wanting to go to sleep. And I thought, well, this is good. I'm going to get a good night's rest. And man, I woke up about 7 o'clock, and it's just like I went, and I was ending a dream. Like, well, there went the whole get rest to fix the blood pressure thing. Friend, listen, I understand health and things like that. But if you wake up and your whole life's in turmoil, you're missing something. I can say that I have true joy. I enjoy life and I enjoy what God lets me do. And I enjoy my wife and I enjoy my kids and I enjoy the ministry here most of the time and true joy. And at 48, I had the sense of fulfillment. If God took me today, I believe I've done His will and we've raised our kids. We have a good marriage. And hey, do you have those things in your life? I want you to know that peace and joy and fulfillment, I'm just here to tell you this morning, you could find it all in Christ. Jesus said in John 10:10, the thief cometh not before to steal and to kill and to destroy. That's what the devil wants to do. Jesus said, I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. That's not just eternal life. That's here on earth, just enjoying day to day, Jesus said in John 14. And in verse number 26, I wrote down the wrong reference there, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. Whatsoever I've said, Spirit of God dwells within us as Christians. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. John 15:11. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Folks, salvation is not a 1, 2, 3, repeat after me prayer that you add to your lifetime list of accomplishments. I did the Baptist thing. I did the Church of Christ thing. I did the Methodist thing. I did the Catholic things. I'm going to do it all because I want to make sure I got some kind of golden tickets. It's not the way it works. True salvation in your life occurs when you realize that you were born lost in sin and bound for a devil's hell. You realize that you cannot save yourself. You cannot work your way out of hell. You cannot pay your way into heaven. Lost people need saving. And the saving can only be done by the Savior. That's Jesus Christ. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 4:10, for therefore we both labor and suffer reproach because we trust in the living God who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. He died for all. He wants all to be saved, but he's especially a savior to those who put their faith in him. I want you to know that one day Jesus is coming back. And there are probably several of us in here like this, but it's God's honest truth. My wife and I both agree. Man, if the Lord came back today, that would be okay with us. We have joy in our life. We have happiness. We have a stable present. And we have some dreams and some goals for the future. But friend, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. And I believe that Jesus is coming back. I don't want to leave my family. I don't want to leave those that need me. But friend, listen, if I drop dead today, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I will not be heartbroken by that. I'll be present with the Lord. I know that because there was a time right here in this building when my dad back there stood up and preached and gave the gospel like I'm giving today. And I realized at 21 years old, sitting over here on this front pew, I don't think I have a personal relationship with Christ. I have church, I have Bible knowledge, I have head knowledge, but not a heart knowledge. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. With the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Lord, I believe you're my Savior. You died for me on the cross of Calvary. And many of you have heard my testimony. And Dad gave the invitation. And because he's the preacher, I knew he was going to kind of need to oversee the invitation for a minute. So I waited. I didn't want to talk to anyone else. I waited. And when he got done, I just whispered. I said, Dad, psst, come here. And we went over to the old chairs that used to be right there. And I said, Dad, I need to be saved. You know what he said? Let's get it done. He didn't say, oh, hey, you're a preacher's son. You're teaching a junior boys class. Hey, meet me in my office after church. We'll get it settled. God will know that it's all settled. Now, he said, let's get it done right here. Announce it to the church. Friend, there's not a person in here. Not a person in here that ought to be embarrassed about getting your salvation settled. Jesus is coming back. The Bible says in Titus 2 and verse 13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. I beg you today not to turn from God's invitation and go back to the world. Please don't do that. The Bible says that that young man went away grieved. God wants you to be saved. And God will save you if you'll ask Him to. I won't read it for sake of time, but when that young man walked away, of course, he had the riches. That was his issue, was trusting in the riches. When he walked away, remember the disciples then said, who could be saved? I don't know if everybody in the group was rich or what, but they're like, who then could be saved? And I love what God said. He said, it's hard for a man that trusts in his riches. By the way, it's also hard for someone that trusts in their works. Hard for someone who trusts in their good ethics and their good morals. But I love God's answer. Now, I'm not quoting, I'm not looking at it, but he said something like this. He said, yeah, with man this is impossible, but not with God. Not a person in here today that God cannot save, that God is not willing to save if you'll trust Him as your Savior. I want to speak to Christians for just a few minutes. And I want to challenge you as a child of God not to miss heaven for the world. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Well, let me say before I even get into it, I believe in eternal security. I believe it because it's what the Bible teaches. I don't believe you can lose your salvation. There is a crowd of Baptists that believe in that, and I hate that they believe in that because I don't believe that's what the Bible teaches, and they can never explain what sin it is, what line you cross to lose that salvation. But I tell you this, independent Baptist, it sure makes Christians perk up a little bit when they think, well, there's a chance. Now, I'll tell everyone in here, there is not a biblical chance if you trust Christ as your Savior. You got adopted into the family of God. You got the Holy Spirit that sealed you, the Bible says, until the day of redemption. Your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. That name can never and will never be erased. You did nothing to get yourself saved. You can do nothing to get yourself unsaved. But I believe this. If we will live life God's way here on earth, we can enjoy a little bit of heaven on earth. Perfect life? No. Because guess what? Even though you get born again, you're still just a sinner saved by grace, just like me. And we're going to have our battles and we're going to have our difficulties. But I believe the way of transgressors is hard. I believe if we live for God, that maybe a little less sorrow, a little less pain, a little less tears that come from a life of sin and worldliness. Hebrews 11 said those great people of faith, they said this world's not our home. They said we're strangers and pilgrims here. They said, you know what, we're keeping the trailer loaded because we're looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. And as children of God, we cannot get comfortable in this world. Amen. In fact, God said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all, if any man love the world, love the Father's not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. The world passeth away, the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Looking through a box of pictures this week, we're coming up on our 40th, in 3 months, 40th anniversary, and I finally got through all these old pictures that I had. If you're in our church, you've got some old pictures you want to bring to me, that's great. Certainly we need some newer ones. But going through all these old pictures, I'm going to tell you what. I told my wife when I got home, I said, I think that's the last time I'll ever go through that box of pictures. I went through every last one. It's church history. I pulled the ones out that I believe we can use and need to use on our video. We're putting together a 40-year history of Trinity Baptist Church video. It's going to be narrated. I think it'll turn out to be a good video. It won't be just the one with the music and pictures of people you don't know. It's going to tell the story of the church as it goes. But I told my wife, I said, I don't think I'll ever do it again. I don't know that we'll ever do a video again. Sarah said, yeah, you will on the 50th. I said, Brother Trent might on the 50th. You know what I'm saying? 22 years. I said, I don't think I'll ever do it again. You know, one of the most hurtful things to go through that box is to realize the number of families that were on track for God. But a job became more important. But being friends with the world became more important. You know, it's even more heartbreaking than watching adults turn back to the world is dragging those little kids with you. And I had picture after picture after picture after picture of little kids in the Christian school singing. Hopefully they weren't dancing, but they were singing. And then little Christmas plays and the kids are in the little nativity. And then they're up here singing. And then kids up here and they're singing in the teen choir. But mommy got her feelings hurt. Dad got prideful and upset. Oh, Pastor, Walked straight out of the will of God. And guess who's following? Then I started thinking about the divorces that occurred not long after that. Oh, we're going to go to the world so we can fix it. Then I started seeing pictures of people who died. Young couple in our church, couldn't have kids. Interrupted our family supper one night with the lady knocking at the door. I'll never forget it. Blonde-headed lady knocked at the door, was weeping. And, of course, you know, it was, boys, get out of here. Here comes the church people. And the lady had a miscarriage. And they tried to have kids. And guess what? This church prayed and God gave them kids. They lived by us over there on where we lived in that neighborhood. And God gave them kids. And some idiot in our church back then that wanted to be an evangelist that just wouldn't do things God's way, wouldn't follow the leadership of the pastor, and he got crossways with the preacher, and so he decided, you know what, we're going to do it our way. And he got all these young couples together, and they had a, instead of being at the church New Year's Eve thing, those few families got together and did what they did. And guess what? You can go back and look at that list of those families that got together. Everything fell apart in those families as they got out of church. And this sweet couple who had kids, they stayed in this community for years. And then this lady winds up cheating on her husband with a person in this community. So that becomes a mess. This is while I'm pastoring when I learn of all this. So that's the story in town. And then not long after that, that woman died. Believe it was cancer. Died of something. You say, what happened there? You're being a judge. No, I'm not being a judge. I'm just saying the facts of what happened. Christians, don't miss heaven for the world. I'm not talking about missing the place of glory, but Paul had the saddest testimony of Demas, one of his traveling partners, when he said, "Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world." I believe our homes, I believe our marriages, our personal lives can be joyful and relatively peaceful. I believe they can be just a little bit of heaven on earth if we'll just trust God, live for Him, do His will, obey His word. I believe God wants to greatly bless you, but you have to take up your cross daily and follow Him. Well, when this fellow walked away and the Lord said, well, I mean, this is hard, but with God, nothing should be impossible. What did Peter say? Peter said, well, we have, Lord, we've left on and we're following you. And another gospel says, he asked, you know, what should we have? And what did the Lord say there in our text? He said, there's not a born again Christian who's given it all up and just said, I've decided to follow Jesus. The world behind me, the cross before me, that's not going to be rewarded. He said, yeah, in eternal life, but in this life. The world says, oh, look out here, man, the party, this is a good life. Drink the beer, sit by the fire. It's not the good life. Go flirt with everybody that's not your spouse. Wow, what a life. Take your kids out of church half the time. Go do your own thing. Not going to end well. Too many Christians are laying down their cross today and going back to worldly attitudes, worldly amusement, worldly friends, worldly outfits, worldly posts, you name it. They'll get to heaven. Thank God for eternal security. But they're going to have to explain face to face with God why things happen the way they did. How about as a Christian today, we just say, you know what? I'm not going to miss a little bit of heaven on earth for the world. This world's not my home. Just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. The young man said he was sad at the saying, and he went away grieved, for he had great possessions. How will you leave here today? You leave here sad. I know there's something missing, but I'm just not ready for all that stuff. Or are you going to say, you know what? I know I need to be saved. And I'm getting saved today. And leave here glad in the Lord. Are you going to leave here lost? Are you going to leave here saved? Are you going to leave here backslidden? Or are you going to leave here starting over and getting right, young people, getting right, mom, getting right, dad, getting right, grandparent, and leave here at moving forward for Christ? The songwriter wrote this: "My days swiftly passing have brought from above so many bright tokens of mercy and love. More grace He has given and burdens removed. Yes, over and over His goodness I have proved. And shall I turn back into the world? Oh no, not I. Shall I turn back into the world? Oh no, not I." Christians, world has nothing, nothing to offer. God has everything to offer you. If you're here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior, young person, adult, whoever you may be, and I've been there. You say, well, I've been in this church a long time, or, well, I'm a visitor. This is strange, or this would be, imagine being the pastor's son. What the devil's telling me on that pew: you're saved. Well, maybe you're not saved. Well, maybe you are saved. Well, if you're not saved, then maybe God will know that you thought maybe you were saved, and you go back and forth and back and forth. But I don't care who you are. Boy, I remember the day the Lord saved me. I remember the day in 1997, the summer of 1997, I remember the day. In different personalities, I know, deal with things differently, but I can tell you this: in those 26 years now, there has never been one moment in my life where I said, I don't know if I'm saved. I know I got it settled on that day. I wonder if there's somebody today that needs to just get it settled. God loves you. He'll save you. Honestly, it's pretty simple. They sang about it. He already did all the work on the cross of Calvary. Be saved today.